Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dennis, and I have notes this week.
And I'm Aaron Flores, and I made those notes from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you every week somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains, transit, simpler living, and today, New Year's. Revolutions.
Because bikes have wheels that turn around, right?
Around, yes.
But get it? It's a revolution because we're inspiring something bigger.
Yeah, keep going.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're inspiring something bigger. I hope.
I mean, as you can see. That was one of the things we had hoped for the new year.
Yep. 2016 is going to bring you another full year of the Sprocket Podcast. You know how some podcasts operate in a season format where they regroup and they plan?
They take a break.
And they, like, we're gonna put forth a logical, ordered stream of content in a series. We say nuts to all that.
Yes.
We do a show every goddamn week. So.
No such planning for us.
I mean, we try and plan the best we can. But everyone who loves and knows this show knows that we're not here to save up the best. We're here to give you exactly what's on our minds every week, and sometimes that's the best of what we have to offer, and sometimes we're enjoying the best of what life has to offer.
Sometimes I'm riding home and I'm going, "Damn it, I should have said that."
Well, you know, that's why there's next week. Yeah, so we're all in spectacular health because it's the middle of winter here in Portland, Oregon.
Well, and we've all been staying inside and breathing our own air.
I know. That was the thing. Adele told me that. Just a theory. I mean, it's kind of like...
It's the popular theory as opposed to, like, or in relation to why there is a cold and flu season and why, like, cold weather being, quote-unquote, being out in the cold... is associated with having a cold.
Right, because we take a bunch of people, we put them in a box, called a house.
Yeah, you're actually not out in the cold.
Or building.
Problem.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, David Robinson, hello.
Oh,
good
hi.
To see you again.
Oh, yeah.
And David Robinson has graduated from guest to what would you correspondent?
Recurring idiot.
Yeah. It's good to see you again. Thank you for coming in.
Steve Martin, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. Thank you for joining us. We are here. Do you have any of the ick?
I fought a little bit of it off over the weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, more or less doing all right at this point.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, you know what would solve some of that? Something tasty from our beverage sponsor, the Beer Mongers, over at Southeast Division and 12th. I think we all have, and here's an opener for you.
Ooh.
Which will allow you to enjoy that. I think.
I love how, like, the keys are jingling around in the background because all of our bottle openers.
That's
are
right. Yeah, we all shift it at once.
You could use the knife, but then there's the chance that I start bleeding all over the place.
Right, and that's no good.
Hasn't happened yet, but on the air is probably the time it would happen.
The last time.
Yeah, and that would damage our equipment, which we would not be in favor of.
Right. So, yeah. Precious equipment.
If anybody can't tell, I have a little bit of that ick.
Really?
So yeah, just a tad. It's just about over, but I've been fighting it kind of for a little while. Should I tell my health story now?
Well, why not?
Should we juxtapose our sponsorship of the Beer Mongers with an incredibly terrible tale of disgusting things happening to me?
When I'm not feeling well, and I don't feel like making myself a drink, I take the bus or ride down to 12th and Division. 11th. 11th and 12th.
12th
and Division.
Yeah, it's
12th. Right next to 11th.
Between 12th and 11th and Division. This is why you do the sponsorship and not me. To the Beer Mongers.
Yeah.
The cure for what ails you.
That's right, yeah. And if you've been ailed...
Oh, there's an ale pun there.
There is.
We're
so close to it.
We're
so close to it.
The ale for what cures you.
There we go.
I'm sure I'm not the first to make that joke.
It's good. But they are open. And matter of fact, with the crazy weather in Portland, the ice, God forbid the ice.
Oh, Jesus.
God forbid that it should freeze and that it should be.
They'd have to start their sign over all over again. Yeah, if, if the ice got to them. So
luckily
it didn't.
You have the sign that says Portland, an ice-free city.
No, they're open for X number of days
straight.
Right.
Yeah. No,
the day that sign gets set back to zero, it's going to be some apocalyptic shit.
Right, exactly. It's the zero accident-free days or whatever.
Right, exactly.
Like the sign that you would see at your local paper mill or what have you.
Or the intro to The Simpsons.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, the Beer Mongers is always open, even if there's a crazy shitstorm happening and everyone cannot drive. There will still be someone there to serve you a beer. And there will still more than likely be a seat for you at that said Beer Mongers location.
I would say especially if
increasingly,
the weather is inclement.
Right.
There might be a couple seats for you.
So, hey, listener, we're in Portland. It's weird here. How is
it's
it where you
strange.
Are? Yeah. I did some traveling. I want to talk a little bit about that. You have some ails. That you want to talk about as well.
I don't know where this came from, in all honesty.
Yeah? You want to start with yours or you want to start with mine? Mine's longer.
I'll start with mine because it's real short.
Yeah.
If you guys, those of you who have been listening, know I did something to my back about a year ago in October. And I was on a lot of painkillers and I was not myself.
You were a lot of fun.
I don't think I was.
I
even had a coworker ask me, can you do more around the place because you're not really doing much right now.
Oh wait, you mean the pills just kind of knocked you flat?
Oh yeah, yeah.
As opposed to they didn't make you loopy.
No, I would just sit and stare at
things. Okay.
Yeah, pills will fucking get you.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yep. And so anyways, well, the thing that happened to my back has happened again, but this time there's no what am I trying to say?
There's no inciting incident. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's no incident. It just decided to go out on me and so I've been kind of walking like an old man for the past couple of days.
Right. Well, we were positing the theory that, if the weather changes or the temperature changes or humidity changes, that kind of deals with some of the factors inside your body as well as outside. So
yeah, maybe. I mean, I didn't break anything. Usually, it's associated with, a healed up broken bone.
Ah, okay.
If the air pressure changes, it's I feel it in my knee.
Right.
From the old football injury.
I feel it in my fingers.
I feel it in my toes.
That's what that song is about.
Christmas is all around me, and so the feeling grows. Bill Nighy from Love Actually, which is the only good part of that movie.
Yeah. The rest of it is just crying about how everything sucks.
Right. Well, but it's a good thing that Christmas makes everything better.
Right. Yeah. Hooray.
Yeah.
No, I think the real answer here is that it's time for you to get recumbent.
Oh. Ooh. Well, so that actually would be a fun challenge to my perceptions because I was even just talking about this with someone else, how recumbents, even though they shouldn't be, are surprisingly divisive in the bicycle.
Some people like them, some people don't.
Right. And rationally in my head, I'm it's just another human-powered vehicle. But there's that part of me that's kind of the bike purist / snob that is those are not real bicycles.
It's I think you have to have a bike with aero bars before you can get onto a recumbent.
That's the step.
Yeah, start with aero bars and then go to the recumbent.
Well, in most recumbent bicycles, you can get two-wheeled recumbents, right?
Oh, yeah.
So there's that, yeah. I always think of the three-wheeled recumbents because those are the ones that I think of first, but that's not necessarily indicative. There's lots of different kinds.
I know somebody with a tandem recumbent.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Which is just a huge piece of steel with a couple wheels on it.
Yeah.
And some bucket seats.
Sounds like fun. I mean, the bucket seats are the most appealing part, but why did you bring this up? We were thinking of...
How to get Aaron's back.
Right.
Yeah.
Like a more comfortable position.
I don't know, because usually I haven't ridden because it's been so shitty.
Right.
Usually being on the bike is the one activity I can do that's not hurtful to my back. Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Walking, sitting, not so great. Riding my bike, I think it's because I'm stretched out. And
it pulls
some of those what are those called? Vertebrae? Gives it a little bit of stretch.
Little spine nuggets.
Yeah.
I call them the spine bone, connected to the head bone.
Something connected to the red thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's my injury story.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not going on any drugs, though.
Well, I guess that's good.
That is good.
Unless you need the drugs to...
I don't know.
To, cope, to survive.
I gotta go to Mexico next week. I don't know if I want to land in Mexico with a bunch of, like, you know,
drugs,
like narcotics. Yeah,
seems like a bad idea. Yeah,
I'm already nervous enough when it comes to border.
You just get
patrol.
New ones when you get there.
There you go.
I suppose that
Excuse
could happen.
Me. Excuse me. Can you point me to your nearest pharmacy?
Perhaps we should clarify,
Bodega?
For the record, right now, that Aaron in no way will be transporting drugs to Mexico. This is all for satiric purposes.
This is entertainment only.
Artistic folks. Works of falsehood and fiction.
There
right,
you go.
Exactly. Yeah.
Fanciful tales of fancy.
Well, I was just going to say that you have a pretty aggressive riding stance. So on most of your rides,
yeah.
At least on the fine disc trucker.
Oh, snap. That reminds me.
Yeah? What's up?
I just bought a disc trucker frame and fork.
Holy shit. You now own how many bicycles?
N plus one.
Nice.
I'm going to get rid of it soon.
Oh, really? Okay.
This one is to replace the fork that is currently on my bike.
Oh.
With a matching fork.
Oh.
With a longer steer tube. So then I can finally get that just perfect parallel to the top tube.
I see.
Stem, mm-hmm.
Okay.
As opposed to a riser or anything like that.
Is the horse with no name, like, is it currently, I know that's not its real name, but I'm going to go with it. Is that currently discs or is it canis? Okay.
Yeah, discs.
Nice. That's the way to go.
There we go.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I keep forgetting to do this. Last year I read this article about riding in snow. If you've got a bike with disc brakes, you can put like zip ties on your tires.
Right.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it grips the snow and I didn't think about doing that.
Totally. You put a zip tie basically like every couple spokes around the tire, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I've always been curious to do that, but I've never actually bothered.
Right.
Just, you know, 2.1 with sufficiently low pressure tends to do the trick. You know,
oh, okay.
Because you have a good 4-inch square of rubber on the ground.
Big balloon tires low pressure means it just kind of lays down like a tank tread or something on the ice.
Exactly.
It keeps you stable.
That's what it feels like. I was looking at my back tire and I was like, I should probably put some air in that. But at the same point, I've got traction.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So it's just like the between that and when you would get a pinch flat, right? Where like
right, that's the tricky
pressure
part.
Is so low that you're rolling on your tube and destroying it.
Well, and that's where the real the big allure of tubeless comes from. Is that you can run lower pressures and not have to worry about pinching if you hit a track or a stick or whatever the hell you're rolling over.
That actually helps me understand it a lot better because I never understood what the benefit was, but that's quite a benefit as long as it holds air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean you can run on the gravel racers or whatever 40s for the pressure on 35 millimeter tire and that without issue.
Okay.
And then of course there's all the other kind of niceties of it of ostensibly not getting as many or more puncture resistance in a weird way
because
you got all the sealant in there that'll pick up the plug the little holes on.
Oh, sure. Like blood platelets. Or something
right? That's actually a pretty good analogy.
It's just like your body stops you from bleeding profusely once you cut yourself. This stuff inside will swim around and seal up the holes as air tries to escape from your tires.
Unless you're, the House of Windsor.
Okay.
somebody got it. Yeah,
all
right.
They're all hemophiliacs.
Which
is why the
now.
Tsar's son was a hemophiliac.
Ah.
Same lineage.
Ah. Fascinating. And wait, this just for context for anyone who doesn't know, read me. which country are we talking about?
Royal family of England.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, came from a larger family in Europe that pretty much just about any royalty came out of. And I can't remember the name of the matriarch now.
Mm, okay.
I used to know her name. But anyways, House of Windsor and then also the Tsar in Russia, his family.
Is that why they call them Blue Bloods?
No.
Okay.
That has to do with the fact that their blood doesn't carry as much oxygen, and so their veins show up more, which, by the way, I found out was an optical illusion.
Oh, really?
It only looks blue through the skin.
Oh, sure.
That has something to do with, oxidation when it actually hits air, it changes or something?
No.
Okay.
No.
It's
but it's how much oxygen is carrying in your blood.
Okay.
That's why your veins generally look blue. But anyways, the whole blue blood thing was because it looked even more blue or they showed up even more.
I'm looking at mine right now and I see blue. So.
Due to things like inbreeding and general royal laziness.
Well, that'll happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're not saying anything about anything.
I don't know.
How's it going, everybody in Leeds?
I think the royalty can take it.
We don't mean to offend our royal listenership.
or anyone under their jurisdiction, let's say that.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Okay.
Including commonwealths and territories and such.
If you have the queen on your money, we're sorry.
Yeah. Wait, what? Okay, so let's move on. Since we're talking about health issues and such, can I tell you guys a story about something that happened to me?
Please.
Okay, so for sensitive listeners, if you don't like hearing things about stuff like body issues and fluids and what have you,
then you've probably stopped listening to us a long time.
Probably so. Yeah, but this is just a warning. For anybody who doesn't want to hear me talk about my body in fairly graphic detail, I'm about to do so. So that I occasionally get sick. Occasionally everybody gets sick. But, you know, like there's a feeling that you get, and everybody has kind of people have different levels of resistance to infection and the bugs that go around. People that get sick from like every disease that anybody has, like they end up picking it up as well. I'm not that person, and I'm not a hypochondriac, but I am I'd like to think of myself as industrious. Like I try to work as hard as I can to get as much as I can out of life, which means I don't sleep as much as I should, which means I don't get as much time for my body to rebuild. So I have.
So when it breaks down, it really breaks down.
Yeah. And so I have this thing occasionally where I can start feeling like the lymph nodes. My lymphatic system is like working really hard to try and get all the toxins out of my body. And occasionally, like I feel these lymph nodes swell up in various parts of my body. Oftentimes it's around the face or the neck or something like that. And I feel that swelling and I'm like, oh, this is not acne, because sometimes like the mistake is like, oh, it feels like acne.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you can express like, you know, something out of it, which you're not supposed to do because that can like toxins go in your bloodstream and that sort of thing.
Huh.
So kids, don't pick your zits. It's a bad idea. But
because they may not be zits either.
Well,
apparently.
See, that's the thing. Yeah. Occasionally I'll stumble on a lymph node. And yeah, again, sometimes you can express something out of that. And this is
fascinating, isn't it? Right now. This got really fascinating.
My junior high punk rock band was called the Squeezed Nodes.
Really?
No way.
Oh, okay.
It should be.
That's fascinating.
Go back in time and tell your junior high self.
I'm going to have to start a lot of bands if we ever invent time machines.
Seriously. So occasionally, most of these lymph nodes that I notice swelling, I notice like, oh, that's not acne. That's just a lymph node. That's like I should leave it alone.
Some business.
And I got to watch it and make sure it goes down. Now, occasionally, I'm a little obsessive, a little compulsive sometimes. And so, like, that's gotten me in trouble before where I get an infection in the node to the point where I had one under my chin.
Hashtag infection in the node.
Node infection.
I know.
Infection 2.
I think it was 2010. I was just kind of, like, absently fingering this node. It got to the point where I needed to go to the doctor and it needed to be like, you know, surgically expressed and like packed with gauze or something.
Because you wouldn't stop like fiddling with it?
Yes,
like,
because I was just, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You overfingered your node.
I did. Yeah. It's a bad habit. I shouldn't do that. And I've gotten better as I've grown into adulthood. I'm no longer like a grown up. I don't, I don't pick my nose as much.
You've come to have some self-control.
I try.
Or self-care.
Exactly, yeah. So occasionally that happens. Now, the other place that these lymph nodes that swell can show up is in the groin area. And one of the places that you sit
this
on your bicycle.
This conversation just got really tense.
Is in the groin
Flores
area.
Flores and I just had like a kind of, oh, all right, let's see where this goes, kind of nod.
It's going here, yeah.
All right, here.
Yeah,
I purposefully didn't want to make eye contact with you.
I was just kind of looking away. And, so you drew a third one.
Yeah. And by that, I mean swollen lymph node.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had one on my right butt cheek. And I have an old – everybody knows I have an old Brooks saddle that I love dearly. It's gotten into that point where it kind of sags and some of the structure, not like the rails, it's not sagging down to the rails of the saddle, but the structure of the bolts and everything that holds it together and back, is a little bit, pointed or whatever.
Yeah, it's coming through.
So the node that swelled on my right butt cheek ended up being right next to this like kind of lumpy part of my saddle.
So there's like near one of the rivets.
Yes. Yeah. So there's all this this friction as I've been riding my bike over the past couple of weeks. Ah. So it starts to swell up, and I start noticing this like right before I'm ready to go to Boston. Mm-hmm. And I think like, oh, that's a little uncomfortable. Maybe it'll go away. And it keeps getting bigger. And what I finally, I want to say like the entire swollen area It felt like the size of a baseball, and I'm sure it wasn't that big. But it got to the point where I couldn't sit comfortably on my hips because I have this enormous swollen area down there. And so I'm riding my bike out of necessity because that's like the only convenient way to get to work. And
now, let me clarify.
Yeah.
You're still here. You haven't left for Portland, still in Portland in this part of the narration.
Yeah, I'm still here. So Adele leaves for Boston, and I'm still giving it like one more day or so. I'm like, maybe it'll start going down.
Sure.
And it just keeps on swelling.
Oh.
So finally, it's draining fluids, and it's uncomfortable, and I'm trying my best to like cover it up with bandages and that sort of thing. I'm walking. I think I was taking the bus to go to some show, and just like my entire leg was really almost in pain, and walking was difficult.
Oh,
so I end up going to the doctor because I'm like, well, what do? I call the advice nurse. Like, my health plan has this person standing by. You can call them up and say, hey, I've got this weird lump on my butt cheek, which is a weird conversation to have on the phone.
Yeah.
And she says, well, that doesn't sound good. You should come into the doctor. So we get an appointment scheduled, and I'm checked out. I don't know. The whole, like, have you guys ever been in the position where you have to, like, wear that smock with the open back?
Yep.
Yeah.
Not ages, but yeah.
Yeah. That's a really weird, uncomfortable position.
It's pretty compromising.
Usually you get to wear, like, underwear. But the affected area covered by underwear, so that has to come off. So I'm just laying there kind of exposed.
That's where you bust out your banana hammock.
I wish I had one.
This is not the opportunity
for
levity.
I could have used some levity in this situation. Anyways, I just they look at it. They're like, well, it's just inflamed. There's no, like, you know, it doesn't need to be emptied. It doesn't need to be packed. It doesn't need to be, like, you know, surgically, whatever. It doesn't need to be inspected that way. So they give me a bottle of pills, and they say, take these. And I do. And so eventually it went down.
Are they, like, antibiotics?
Yeah, just antibiotics. I don't remember some...
Doesn't matter which one. Yeah.
One of those things that, like, fights your system and gives you, like, side effects.
Yeah.
So
the brutal ones. But you finished your dosage, right?
I did.
Your regimen?
Yeah, yep.
That's good.
Yep. So I can proudly say today that I'm finally back to normal size in my right butt cheek.
All your nodes are
belong to us.
That's a good one.
No, it was really interesting, though, because I feel like this is the sort of thing that if somebody doesn't have health insurance or something, this could be a worrying thing.
Sure. But I mean, you know, you had to take antibiotics, or you were able to take antibiotics for it. But yeah, think of somebody who didn't have access to healthcare. I mean, they might still have, like, insurance or whatever provided by the state, federal government, or what it is now, but having access to it is still a different thing.
For sure.
You know. And anyways, not being able to access the antibiotics that would be required, like, what would that have done to somebody else's system there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I think the lessons I took was, like, you know, pay attention to your body. And I probably could have prevented some of this with a little more sleep and... I love my beer, but a little less beer at, you know, the wrong times or whatever.
I was going to ask about, you know, toxins leaving your body and
totally
whatnot, but I decided to let that one
toxins,
go.
Demons.
One of the two.
Yeah.
Or both.
Your humors are out of balance.
That's exactly, yeah.
You need more ether.
You need to be bled.
Take these leeches.
Yeah, yeah.
The bad blood, yeah.
But yeah, it's just the sort of thing that, like, I don't know, I probably spend less time than I should being, like, in touch with what my body is telling me. And you can ignore it for a while, but you can't ignore it forever.
Sure.
So.
This is kind of convicting, you know. You telling this story right after me talking about how I don't want to go to the doctor.
Well,
to
get a bunch of pills for my back. Don't have to go to the doctor unless, like, you find that you don't have the answers. I guess that's the point.
Well, I don't.
Yeah.
I've got one. Like, I mean, I'm within, like, 10 or 20 days of finally getting, you know, signed up for the health insurance plan at work, starting the new job. And, you know,
congratulations.
We're almost there. And I've got some money in the HSA that I've been ignoring, but, you know, so I could go to Zoom Care or whatever, but fuck it. But over the summer, Pedal Palooza Loud and Lit, we had the DJ booth trailer. We had, you know, two tandem bolted together, pulling a DJ booth with a live DJ in the back. And dropped the chain at one point. I jumped off, kind of fixed the chain, got back on, looked down at my leg. Oh, shit, I'm bleeding.
Oh.
Took out a pretty massive chunk of my leg.
With a chain ring?
No, there's a piece of angle iron that was part of the bolting the two tandems together to make the cycle truck.
Okay, so just raw steel.
Yeah, basically. Just took a chunk out of, just below the knee on the left leg. And it was brutal for a while, but, kept it clean, kept it covered, didn't go in the Willamette.
helpful.
Priority number one.
Yeah. Well, until I did get pushed in a couple times. That was a few weeks later. It was fine. whatever. But it's got this, it healed.
Uh-huh.
And then it unhealed.
Oh.
Like, there's just a little tiny piece that's just not, still kind of like doing a, like a half thing, and it's... Yeah, once we sign up for the plan, it's going to be,
you'll be checking this out.
Yeah, so this should probably heal eventually, right? It's been a good 6 months.
Ah. Yeah. You see, that's the point at which,
But it's not causing any issues. That's the thing. It's right. Just, it's more like...
Full range of motion.
Yeah. I still do 100 miles a week or whatever. You know, it's still... I can still pedal. It doesn't hurt. It just kind of... Oh, there's a weird scab-ish thing, and if I pick it, it bleeds.
Right.
Or... If I say, that doesn't need to be there anymore, I mean, it's not just like, a neurotic thing.
See, this is, but I have the neurotic thing where I do have that, like, I need to remove that.
Yeah. you think, it's probably done now.
Exactly.
We don't need that anymore.
It couldn't possibly bleed.
Yeah, it couldn't possibly.
It's not like it's going to fall off by itself.
Well, and it's got that appearance to it of, like, scab that's served its useful life. And then there's, apparently there's a thing there. So, eventually I'll update, with a... it turns out it was leprosy or whatever.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
You'll come in with like a prosthetic or something.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It'll be fine.
Yikes.
Yeah, Blade Runner leg.
There you go.
I wish you the very best
and to you as well.
Thank you.
Mind your nodes, Brock.
I certainly will, and I'll try to finger them less. So the trick is, I think that one of the things I was going to bring up is that, like, obviously this is a sensitive area. This is probably... If not this being the reason, things like this are the reason that a lot of people are in favor of padded bike shorts. I'm not going to say I'm against padded bike shorts because, again, I'm not the guy that likes to say you're doing it wrong.
Right.
I don't subscribe to that philosophy. And I think a lot of bike clothing, like bike-specific clothing, can look silly. But I also think that like there are many ways to exist on a bicycle healthfully and without injury to self. So
I mean, we've most of the long rides we've done together, we've just been in jeans,
right?
And that's been fine. I've never been a big fan of the chamois or whatever, but there's a place for
it. There's a time and a place for it.
Right. Well,
if it works for you, then shit, why not?
Exactly, and especially like I was thinking about this. If I had been bicycling when I had like the height of inflammation, I might have used padded shorts. I have a pair sitting around that I never use.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
So, just saying, like, do what works for you and don't take any shit for it.
There you go.
You know, and if we give you shit for it unintentionally, then, like,
give it back.
Exactly. Let us know, I guess. So, anyways, there's that. Hey, there goes the train. Things in the room are shaking.
Wow.
That's a more...
That sounds like Amtrak.
No, that's definitely a freight train.
Really?
Well, I don't know. It's going fast.
Hey, speaking of Amtrak,
ooh.
I was on the sleeper car.
Yes.
Segway.
Brought to you by
the Union Pacific.
I give you endless shit for that. Endless, but...
No, just on Twitter.
It's all teasing.
Yeah. I opted to take the sleeper car on Amtrak. It's the first time that Adele and I have ever done this.
Where were you going?
We were in Boston,
mm-hmm.
and then we flew to San Francisco. A friend of ours got married.
Oh,
Trent. Wow. Congratulations. Good for you.
Woo.
And then we'd spent the rest of the day. We had a car that we had rented because it's impossible to get to Stinson Beach and go to a wedding using public transit. And we didn't have bikes. And it would have been nearly impossible. Although one of his friends did bike to Stinson Beach.
Oh, really?
But then I think he was being driven somewhere else afterwards, which makes sense. I mean, it was New Year's Eve. And as my grandpa likes to say, there's a lot of nuts out there. So I think, we had the car. We ended up going to Point Reyes National Seashore, which is a beautiful place. Hiked 15 miles while we were there.
Oh,
walked up
right
and over
on.
Hills and down beaches. And it was like California, just the way you hope California would be. And, yeah, it was really nice. So, anyways, when we were done, turned in the rental car, rode the BART. The BART is fascinating, by the way. Bay Area Transit System.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a full-on grown-up subway or, commuter
system. Wait, is it
underground?
It goes under the bay. My sister lives in Berkeley, and she took the BART to SFO, like, which is literally underwater for a good chunk of time.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really goddamn expensive.
Oh, really?
We yeah. rode it from the airport to the train station in Oakland, and it was like $8 a person or something like that.
You ever done the most expensive like piece of infrastructure I've ever participated in that I remember is the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel in going across the Chesapeake Bay between, what is it? I guess it's from Virginia to Virginia or Maryland to Virginia.
Okay.
It's like fucking $16 to cross this thing.
Really?
Because it's a 17-mile bridge with two tunnel sections that go deep enough for freight traffic to go overboard.
Oh, fascinating.
And also Navy. There's a big ship, Fort Story base in there.
Okay, but so $16 a pass.
$16 one direction. Like
in a car?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
you're not riding that. I mean, right. You're going through tunnels, you know, and yeah. it's two lanes total. I'd love to ride it, but that's never going to happen.
But tunnels are not designed with the idea that anyone will be there in anything other than a car.
Right.
Or truck.
Right. Well, and air quality and yeah. just, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't want to be there.
No, I mean, well, I wouldn't share it with traffic. And even if I was, I don't think that they're expecting somebody to be down there for, you know, shit. Even if it's only a mile, that's, you know, what, just a couple minutes at least. Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
feel like doing I mean, math.
Well, I would say, like, at a good clip, you know, or I wouldn't even say a good clip. At a moderate clip, like, you got 10 minutes. Right?
Oh, yeah, easy, yeah.
Yeah, that's 10 minutes with aggravated motorists behind you. Right. There's no place for you to go.
Right, right.
Is it illegal?
I'm pretty sure it's illegal.
It seems like one of those places where it'd be zoned against human power.
It's a highway leading into either side of it, and...
Really, that's sensible.
So you couldn't even already be on there.
Oh, no. You're not accidentally on the bridge tunnel. I mean, I remember, like, there used to be a ferry. They built the first span in the 90s, and it was just two lanes for the entire thing. And then they built another span. I totally derailed you, Brock.
Oh, it's okay. We're just talking about trains.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
Now we're talking about bridges.
Get it, because he talked about derailing.
Bridge and tunnel. Hey. Well, yeah, they built the second bridge span, but there's still only the two tunnel spans. So you have two lanes on the bridge sections in either direction, and then you combine for one lane each on the tunnels.
That leads us to some backed up traffic, I would think, right?
It's never been that horrible.
Okay,
but,
that's
I mean,
good.
Like, you have to slow the fuck down for the tunnel because,
right.
you know, tunnel fires suck.
Be careful.
Yeah. and yeah.
I hope that's a quote that is widely attributed to you.
Tunnel fires suck.
If that's my epitaph, all right. Tunnel fires suck.
Yeah. But, yeah. No, that you're totally right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Amtrak.
Yeah. Oh. Well. Okay. So we took the sleeper car, and that is. It's like first class on a train, basically. I mean, you've got business class on the train, which is kind of like first class. But like, sleeper car.
Wait, what's business class?
Business class is when they give you a voucher for a free cup of coffee.
And a lazy boy.
Yeah. And like basically more room to sit in. So kind of like first class on an airplane.
Okay.
That's business class on Amtrak. But then like the true first class is when you rent a room in the sleeper car. We got the smallest one we could possibly get. And I redeemed it with Amtrak points we had saved up from having the Amtrak credit card for several years. And we have a few more left, but it was a spendy purchase. So the way it works out is you've got this room that has two seats in it. The two seats fold down into a bed, and then there's a bunk bed you can lower from the ceiling. And so it occupies two, either sitting for daytime use or sleeping at night. And let me tell you, sleeping on a train, so good.
Oh,
so
yeah.
great.
I can see that.
Fully extended, not sharing it with the rabble and coach. And I should clarify by saying I have been the rabble in coach and probably will be again.
There's the Top Gear joke of the scum class at the back, just like a bunch of hay on the ground. I wish they would bring that back because it'd make everything a little easier. But
yeah.
I can imagine having your room would be...
like Snowpiercer, where they just give you like the gelatin blocks made of beetles.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you still have access to the rest of the train, too, when you're in sleeper.
You do, yeah. So you've got the observation car. You've got the dining car.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you don't want it, so Amtrak does the dining where they sit you with strangers. So if you go into the dining car, you sit down and they're like, hey, here's two people that showed up.
These are the Johnsons. Have fun.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so you make small talk with these people. And sometimes that's fun. Sometimes you don't feel like it.
So where are you going to? Oh,
exactly.
Where the train's going? Cool.
Right. Precisely.
Hey, we're going to the same place.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going north? Neat.
Fancy that. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, we had a decent breakfast experience, but it was also like one of the guy that was sitting across from us was just kind of like one of those like sort of socially awkward guys.
A programmer?
Maybe. Maybe. And he was a nice guy, but just like wasn't quite sure what to talk about. And then we also had an exchange student from China, which I'm good on her. But we weren't able to talk much to her, yeah, because like she wasn't extremely facile with English. So yeah, it was an awkward breakfast, but it was a good breakfast. The meals are included in your sleeper car fare.
Right. Mm.
So any meal that you're on the train for, you get, which is awesome. And then for lunch, you know, after breakfast, we're like, maybe we just want to hang out with ourselves in our room, you know, and do nothing.
So you did.
So they deliver. You just say, hey,
for real?
I want this from the kitchen,
so
and they bring it back to you.
Do you have to tip the guy?
I did. I assume, I don't know if you have to.
Yeah, I flew Frontier for my holiday travel, and they have the little, buy $5.99 beer. And then,
They
have the iPad, and it's like, would you like to tip your person? And the fuck you button is, no, I would prefer not to at this time.
at this time.
Yeah.
We'll keep you hanging on.
Yeah. Well, let me know. I might change my mind later. But
maybe
yeah.
I'll give you a dollar later on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's
how much do you tip the guy that brings you the food on the train?
Let's see. So we left a fiver. It was like $2.50 tip for both of us for breakfast. I figured that was kind of like fair, maybe more than fair.
Yeah. Sure.
And then
sure. I have zero clue as to like what would be fair. Or
I don't know what you're supposed to. Yeah.
It's a little bit. I mean, at least it's going to keep them coming back in the future.
Right. And this is the thing. Like when you have the sleeper car, it's basically like a hotel room. And so like a lot of things that people don't do when they stay in a hotel is tip the housekeeping.
Oh,
because,
right.
You know, housekeeping comes in. They got to change your filthy sheets from your terrible night of drinking or whatever. and all these, they got to straighten up the room. They got to clean your hair out of the sink after you're done shaving and that sort of thing. So it's nice to leave a little tip for them. So factoring in all of those things, including the idea that, hey, this guy also brought me the food from the kitchen. I don't know if he tips out the kitchen when he gets the tip. I don't know how that works. But so I gave him $10 when we got off the train because I felt like that seemed, you know,
seemed
fair,
right.
More than fair.
Yeah.
I hope.
How many days were you on there?
We were just on there for
it's like a
18, 14 hours, something like that. We came from Oakland back to Portland. So
that's not bad.
Yeah. We went through all the places that, Aaron, you and I have been on that train before. So,
and I was conscious.
Yeah. That's right. Because the first time Aaron rode that train, he was drunk on Pedialyte.
Yep.
Just he had the flu.
I was not in good shape.
Yep.
This is the health show.
The Sprocket Podcast for all your health needs.
Yeah.
Brought to you by flavonoids.
One thing to think about, if you ever do choose to take the Amtrak sleeper car, there's a lever. First of all, there's a temperature control for how hot or cold you want the room to be. But there's
each of the rooms are like you can control your own thing.
Yeah, there is a small space under the door. It's not airtight.
Can you cool it to like 32 and just like bring a bunch of crab?
It'd be fun, wouldn't it? I have all these sides of meat that I've been hanging.
Yeah, like six cows. Can I just put these in here?
Exactly.
Hang them from the bunk bed. It'll
but
be
what,
fine.
What we missed was that there's a little like vent thing that you can click back and forth to open or close the air vent. And we had turned down the temperature, but we had not opened the air vent. So it was a little warm
when
I was trying to sleep.
Because the air is not
circulating. Is that direct to outside?
Now?
I don't know if it's outside or like some sort of central air system in the train. I feel like it's probably central air system like purified because I would assume, especially with the locomotive so close and all the fumes coming out of it, they probably have a filter system or something.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But I don't know for sure.
Let's talk about the layout of the the first class car. Like how are you? You're in this room. Is it kind of like the classic like movies on the train where
Hogwarts,
you have that like
the Hogwarts Express
right like the Beatles in a Hard Day's
Night.
So that's the size of the family room, I think.
Okay.
Or the super roomette or whatever. We had the roomette, which is about half that size.
Okay.
So it's basically the width of the one seat.
And then you got this narrow hallway that you like navigate
exactly
with all your really
yeah.
Are there like closets to hang your coat in the hallway?
There's
or,
well, so there's a
the
luggage
room?
Rack down on the lower floor. These are on the upper floor of the two story
right,
train cars.
Yeah.
There also is a coffee station by the staircase, so you can get free coffee.
So you just
free orange juice.
You just go and get
and oranges and apples.
Any champagne?
There was no champagne. You could order it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but they have wine tasting.
For $7.50 a first-class passenger. Yeah. Or a sleeper car passenger. Yeah, we didn't want to pay for it. And I'm not a wine guy anyways, so. Yeah. But you can also bring your own booze on the train. Like, if you have a private room, they don't care.
Oh, because it's a private room.
You do what you want.
Whatever you do in your room is your business.
As long as it doesn't affect anyone else outside your room.
Right.
Which is as it should be.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking liberty right there.
Right. But the problem with the train, like, with coach, is that like you either have people like wanting a drink and not having one, or having to go and pay outrageous fees at the Amtrak bistro, or smuggling on their own.
Yeah,
right.
I went to the Amtrak bistro once and you know, ordered a beer and a sandwich or whatever, and then like she couldn't get my card scanned, and apparently they're not allowed to type in numbers. I had a card that was almost dead at the time.
Okay.
Oh, really?
She had already opened my beer and put it on the counter, so I'd already had a couple swigs. And she's like, I can't get your card to scan. I can't let you have that. I'm like, can I have one more sip? She's like, yeah, okay. And I just kind of, well, what you going to do? And just pour it back. She's like, that's not a sip. And just reaching for it. She's like, oh, what you going to do? I'm sorry.
I mean,
that's
you're just going to throw it away anyway.
Yeah,
right?
Literally, you're just going to waste it. I mean, you're
Right, right.
I'll give you some. I'm just going to get one more swig.
That is interesting because I feel like I would it's like the customer service thing. Like I would just say, oh, it doesn't work. I guess it's on us this time.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's also, I imagine travel with cash, dumbass.
I guess there's that.
Well, there's that. And I also imagine like this person, their hands are tied.
Right, right.
You know.
Well, it's what's the English phrase? Jobs worth. Oh, it's more than my job's worth. It's the guy who's going to tell you to fuck off just because
he
doesn't give a shit. And, I like my job, but I'm not going to lose it for you, dumbass.
Right, exactly. That's when they grab your beer.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I hope you have cash next time.
Yeah, okay, well, it's been a while since I've been on a train, but next time it's hit the ATM.
I'm surprised they don't have an ATM on the train, actually.
Honestly, that was kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Be able to type numbers in. I mean,
totally.
I've never understood why you would restrict that from somebody at a cashier that doesn't offer cash back.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if they don't have one of those like chunk things.
Yeah.
Like I really guess the feeling is that the possibility of fraud is a little bit greater if you like, you know, say I show up and go like, I've got my number memorized and then just rattle off a bunch of numbers that. You know, is
right.
not my.
But you're buying like maybe six beers.
Right.
Like let's just go nuts.
No.
With it.
I'm saying it's totally fear based. I'm not justifying it.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah.
I'm just saying like this is probably what somebody somewhere is thinking. And
right.
They're like, well, then the way around that is we just don't let our people punch in numbers.
Yeah. Your card can't suck.
Yeah.
that's the idea. Yep. Yeah. The plastic bag trick does not work here.
Yeah. I did once sell a computer on the chunk. System though,
aren't those great?
It was great. I mean, the power was out. It was a big old storm in New Hampshire, and I can take your money, but I got to use this thing. And it was amusing for everyone involved.
I've always wondered why you couldn't just like, in theory, if you knew like your routing number and you know, like, couldn't you just write your own check on a blank sheet of paper?
Actually,
no.
It couldn't be.
I mean,
processed.
Frank Abagnale would probably have something to say about that, but. The Catch Me If You Can guy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because he did make up his own checks.
He literally made up his own
checks.
Right.
It was an easier time. It was a simpler time back then.
Well, I mean,
simpler living is what we all aspire to, right?
So let's forge some checks.
Does that include larceny?
Well, that was actually just to a wildly off topic. That was pretty interesting. He figured out that if you changed the first few numbers in the routing number, it had to get mailed, like physically mailed to California.
Right. Yes.
And so we'd write a check in Massachusetts. Like they got mailed to California. Have 5 days at this hotel, writing dumb checks, getting cash back, eating caviar or whatever, and then say, they're probably going to start coming back now. And
start skipping town.
Peace out.
Right. This is like that landlord thing I was telling you about, Aaron. This is like I could have solved it all with some fake checks.
That's right.
But I do like my house.
You could have just handwritten your own checks.
It's one of the perils of life is realizing how easy it would be to commit just massive fraud.
I know,
for
right?
a little while.
For a little while. Yeah. It'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you got to be one step ahead of the shoe shine.
Yep.
So, yeah.
wait, that's a...
Simon and Garfunkel?
Yeah. There's a musical about that, too. What is it? Newsboys?
Newsies?
No. The Disney cartoon? Or not cartoon, but the
It was
Disney
basically a cartoon.
Musical?
Yeah.
There's a,
starring Christian Bale.
Yeah,
a very young Christian Bale.
Very young.
I have no idea. I had a brief glimmer of memory, and then it's gone.
And now it's gone.
And it's gone.
Yeah. Well, so all that to say, I keep wanting to say first class. The sleeper car is fantastic on Amtrak.
How many thumbs up?
I give it 3. If I had 3 thumbs, I would put them all up.
2 thumbs and a node.
Yes. That's right. That's right. A fingered node.
It just looks like 3 thumbs.
No, Amtrak
taking
is
taking antibiotics.
Honestly, the next time I have to travel anywhere in distance, especially if it's a bike trip and especially if flying is impractical with a bike, I am doing sleeper car.
Yeah.
Yeah, hands down.
Are you allowed to bring your bike into the sleeper car? Because I know Amtrak is kind of pissy about bikes in a lot of senses.
Yeah, they won't let you bring it into it, I don't think. It would be hard to get up the staircase.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the bicycle would unless it's a foldable Brompton or other folding bicycle that's small enough.
And would that fit into
the
luggage section?
Depends.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd have to ask Joe Beal and Ellie Blue. Because they had that problem with Amtrak. Although Amtrak
ironed that out now.
They ironed out some of the,
They are slowly getting better at it.
Slowly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Tim Mooney, creator of the Pedal Shift Project, has championed the fact that roll-on service is now available between Pittsburgh and Washington, D.C., I believe?
Yes.
On the Capital Limited Corridor?
I was going to say, is there not roll-on service between San Francisco and Portland yet?
No, there's not. No. But eventually, that's the idea.
Yeah.
Any of them connecting to Portland.
Any line between two major bicycle cities.
If it involves Portland, Minneapolis, or
just
choose an East Coast city.
Those should be the first ones. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Minneapolis, actually, I mean, they do pretty well there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they still deal with winter, so they're all about studded tires these days. But then again, past couple days, so are we.
Yeah, exactly, here in Portland. So we started this whole thing out talking about bad weather.
Right?
Yeah. So anything else on bad weather we can throw in there other than...
Well, I mean, you guys, you guys both public transited here.
That is correct.
Yes. TriMet or my studded tires.
Yep.
Do you not have... Well, that's fair. They got their chains on. Do you have mountain bikes or do you...
I don't.
No, I just have... I mean, I was about to say, I just have the disc trucker, but that's not true.
I have two disc truckers.
I have two disc truckers and the Georgina Terry and then...
Have you built that up yet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
nice,
the Terry, but it's, got 24-inch wheels. You know?
Right, right.
It's really, it's my, not quite a BMX, but almost a BMX.
Hopping curbs and shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they're also, these road tires. I don't have anything that would work. I did reduce the pressure in my tires, in this fantasy that I would get out.
Right, right, right.
And ride it. But then I decided I'm just going to take the bus. It's just it's just easier, and I might say safer in the fact that I just don't necessarily have the wide enough tires for it. Yeah. That it wouldn't be to say that biking isn't safe in this weather. I would say biking is actually maybe safer to some degree because there's less cars out.
Yeah.
That said, sorry, I cut you off.
No, I was just agreeing,
Yeah, that said, there are a lot of people in this town that do not know how to drive in winter weather.
Well, and Portland has a really weird mix of winter weather because, we get it so infrequently. And when we do, we get, the sheet of ice that comes from rain
storms,
plus cold.
Yeah, even in New Hampshire, man, when you get ice, it screws up everybody but the people who have spent, a couple hours pulling the e-brake in an icy parking lot.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody I know. And, I didn't actually get out, I own the Subaru. I didn't actually take it out this time, but, it's you want to learn how to drive in the snow, find a big open space, pull the e-brake, put it back, and figure out how to make it keep going straight.
Cut some cookies.
A lot of fun also. But
Yeah, it is interesting to learn.
Yeah, but, this morning it was – or yesterday it was, it snowed. I kind of woke up and missed it. Now it's already getting shitty. Might as well get the 29er working. And
right on.
I had the police auction bike. It's a Redline Mono 9.
Oh, right.
So, oh, nice, nice.
You were building that up last time you were here, right?
Well, I've had it for a while, but the front wheel, I got it off police auction, and they just fuck, it seems fine. I don't know. it's literally the quality recommendation they give you. And I got it, and the front rim was just – tweaked. I mean, it's so I took it in, can you true this? And they're like, nah, you need a new wheel. I'm like, all right, fine. I haven't quite, I don't have the patience to build shit or build wheels yet, or I haven't actually dived in, dived, diven, anyway, into it. But turns out I have the Jameis, my flat, kind of hybrid, yeah. which is also a 160-millimeter rotor disc brake front wheel. And I said, shit, I wonder if I can get the 2.1 to sit on that.
Yeah.
And it did.
Sure enough.
There you go. Yes. Ingenuity.
Yeah. So I threw that on, kind of stole the pedals off the Jameis, put a seat on that I have got, you know, got from work, and yeah, shit, got a 29er and just
there we
got
go.
It's amazing how much noise that fucking thing makes rolling through ice. Oh. But that and all the it was pretty amazing.
You got fenders on it?
No.
No, okay. No. So
it's a whatever.
Right.
But I have one bike with fenders, if I'm honest.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I figured I should probably get one of them. And
right.
Yeah, anyway, but it was really interesting. Normally, I don't know a bell on any of my bikes right now, and so I come up behind somebody, I'm trying to whistle and like let them know I'm there without going like yeah. I'm not without yelling on your left.
Right. Trying not to be a dick about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Turns out. Riding fat tires, or I don't know, they're not even fat tires anymore. They're just
bigger tires.
Just, you know, yeah. Big-ish tires in ice is a great way. People like turn around like when you're 15 feet behind them.
What is that?
All right, well, it's some guy. All right.
Would it be nice if you had something like that every day? Like, I don't want to ride a loud machine, but there is something nice about it announcing your arrival for you.
Those, the really loud freewheels.
Oh, yeah.
Where you stop pedaling, you just keep the... Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And you know, those kind of do the same sort of thing.
That's interesting. When I was building my rear wheel, I would sample sounds of freewheels because there's enough nerds on YouTube to do this.
Yeah. And, YouTube and is endless.
I was actually looking for ones that were quieter.
Mm. What'd you end up with?
I ended up with a White Industries.
Oh,
which
yeah.
It's still pretty loud, but like it's a unique sound is – the best way I can describe it. It's different from any other freewheel.
That one's got just to get really geeky here. That one's got a lot of points of engagement, huh?
Yes.
How many poles does that have?
I think, we're going to get super nerdy for a second. I think it's only 3 poles.
Oh, really?
Maybe 4, but...
I love that I don't even know what that means.
It's just in the way that it engages somehow. Mm-hmm. Like, it... And the fact that it's built like a tank,
I know,
is going to last me forever.
Yeah. The poles and points of engagement is how far you have to turn the pedals before the thing catches the freewheel.
Ah, so, like, okay. If you're going downhill on a like, kind of a lighter gear,
uh-huh.
You know how when you go to pedal, you got, like, all that free space before it catches?
Yeah.
Right. Just for a moment, you're floating.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that... has to do with how many poles or like how many points of engagement.
So the more points of engagement, the easier, like the more control you have right. over your drive.
A lot of mountain bikers will talk about like instant engagement.
Yep. Like the Chris King hubs are
Chris King,
pretty much endless, but that also means more drag, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. It also means it's much louder.
Very,
I mean, that's kind of how Chris King got its famous sound, though. Mm. Like, it's kind of known for that quote unquote can of bees sound.
It's
because it's got all these points of engagement that this little thing is dragging around. So you hear this like,
You
know, only on like this, I don't know, this different level.
It's one of those things where like you find a picture of it, it makes sense pretty much immediately, but trying to describe it in words is going to sound
right.
Like, so you have the thing with the stuff pointing this way and it's going with the wheel, and then you have the stuff going the other way that point up against those and get it going the other way.
Right. I think you painted that picture perfectly for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's thank you, the beer mongers.
And we come full circle.
And we're back.
Well, hey, we probably should. Is there anything else we need to say about points of engagement?
Yes. I am engaged. I'm trying to segue this, and it's just not going to work.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
No.
Does she know?
I am engaged in a new adventure.
Ah, that's different than I thought.
Yes, thank you. As a juror.
Oh, yes, that's right.
For the Film by Bike Festival.
Thank you for bringing that up. Yes, and this is exciting.
Yeah, for a minute, I wasn't sure. I'll be honest.
Wasn't sure if you were excited about it?
No, I wasn't sure if I was going to be excited. Oh.
No, you have to be excited about
it. I got this questionnaire, and I should show you some of these answers on this questionnaire, because I totally did not take it seriously.
Okay.
And so then, you know, I get a thank you from Eileen, like, thanks for filling this out. and then silence for weeks. And so pretty much up until I got this confirmation, which was like last night, I was just like, oh man, maybe I should have taken this more seriously. Like, did she discount my, I don't know, my application?
Less about Power Rangers. Come on.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, oh, he's not going to take this seriously.
Podcast.
Well, I was going to give him a chance, but fuck this guy. Yeah. Anyways. But yeah, I'm a juror.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah. You know who else is?
Who else?
That would be Armando.
Armando. Dude Luna. Yeah. On Twitter. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So it's going to be fun.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Oh,
and so is, crap, I can't remember her name, but she is on Why Isn't Anyone Talking About This podcast.
Is it Adonia?
It is not Adonia.
Okay. Someone
Alexis
else.
Alexis something.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Alexis. I have not met Alexis, but I know Alexis from Twitter.
I'm pretty excited to meet her.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah.
We will sequester ourselves in a couple weeks.
There we go.
I am open to bribery.
There we go. And you don't drink.
I don't drink, so
no booze.
Filmmakers, don't give me booze. That will be a mark against you.
Right.
I'm still going to keep the booze and give it to other people.
Oh, there you go.
Just don't give it to me.
You'll bribe other people with it.
It's a secondary bribe at that point.
Right.
It's how much Brock will give you for the bottle. Or
exactly. Perfect.
I had six toothpicks.
I think I said something to the effect of, like, I don't want to make it, like, so tantalizing, or I don't want to make it sound like I'm just going to sell out for anything, but I also don't want to make it sound like I would never sell out, so therefore no one would try to bribe me.
Right.
So there's that fine line, right?
More fancy hubs.
There you go.
Right. More points of engagement.
When is Film by Bike? Because I usually find out about things
I
like
should
a week
tell you
before
about
they
that.
Happen.
It's in March.
It's coming up.
Excellent inflection, by the way.
I'm actually just I'm just looking it up now. Are you looking it up too?
Yep. I'm grabbing my email.
Well, I know filmbybike.org is the website. And of course, Aileen is a fantastic. She's been doing this for 12 years.
I meant May. May 6th through 8th at the Hollywood Theater.
I heard you say May 6th through 8th at the Hollywood Theater.
That is correct.
2016.
3 days of movies, gigantic street party on opening night with a beer garden and live entertainment. Mark your calendars now and tell your friends.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. I did the Bollywood dance feature at the street party last year.
Oh, yeah?
So much fun.
I had to ride a Brompton with a beer in my hand.
Oh, for a video.
Oh, no. Wait, was it for the video?
I just had a beer in my hand and said, hey, can I ride that? And he was like, yeah. I'm like, can I bring my beer? And I thought he was going to be like, no.
There we go.
And he's like, yeah, sure, why not? Oh, well,
that
shit.
That was
okay.
Clever Cycles had a stand.
I think it was, I don't know, there's the... Yeah, Brompton has definitely had a bunch of rideables there.
Yes.
I can't remember if that was the same booth or not.
Yeah, that was Clever Cycles.
Cool.
And the Brompton rip.
So well worth the price of admission. Film by Bike is a fantastic event.
It really is.
And now it has a fantastic juror to pick the films.
Yep, Armando Luna.
I was thinking of you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I actually I'm now getting into what do I like. Can I build a point system for these to grade these films? How can I make this less abstract and more concrete?
Right.
You know, how do I make this more objective and less about like what I like? I mean, it's going to be about what I like, of course, but like, how do I make this? I don't know. Like, this film wins because you know, the way the scene is built, or because it doesn't feature you know, the stereotypical whatever, you know, things like that.
Okay,
I mean, you look into, like, kind of the way vocal competitions are often things is there's all the different categories, and you kind of throw down a number, and it's because it's kind of more based on technical aspects rather than, you know, subjective things. You just kind of throw numbers, and then you just total it at the end, and, oh, shit, this is what I wrote down.
There you go.
Right, yeah. I mean, some of it is definitely going to be influenced by, like, what I like.
Well, this one made me giggle, so.
right, exactly. But, yeah, exactly. If I just went only by what I liked or what I didn't like, then pretty much every, like, bike tour travelogue that isn't centered around, you know, your stereotypical middle-aged white dude going across the country, then it's probably going to win my heart.
There we go.
But
that's a metric right there.
Right. But I want to like broaden it to just more than that. Anyway.
We're in favor of all kinds of people doing bike tours across America or any country. Do it. Go out there.
Or bike tour through your backyard.
That's right. That's the...
Actually, that would be a great... Do a film about a bike tour in your backyard.
That's right.
If you do it right, it's going to be wonderful.
Because you have to test your gear. You have to figure out how it works. Film that shit.
And every pedal is an adventure.
Ride your fucking bike.
That's right.
Speaking of which, Steens Mazama?
Right. Is it still going to happen because of the dust up? We'll find out. I guess it depends on how long it takes for the FBI to get those guys out of the Bird Museum. But
I guess actually,
We'll find out.
Well, those guys are turning themselves in. It's the other people around the Bird Museum.
Oh, those are the ones I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
No, the two guys that went to prison never had anything to do with the Bird Museum occupation. So, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Hey, we got some headlines.
Let's do some.
You ready for that?
Yep.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as we can into the morning light. Pedal just as fast as we can into the daylight.
All right. So first up from theratavist.com.
Which is a fantastic website.
I was going to say, do you follow them at
all? I don't.
Oh.
Okay. I should.
Yeah, they're all right. It's kind of gear related sometimes, and it can be like really kind of carbon-y.
Uh-huh. Carbon gear.
Spend $6,000 on a bike, and it'll be awesome.
Yeah. But every now and then they have something. Well, and I'm still a bit of a gearhead anyways.
Points of engagement?
Yeah, exactly. as per like 10 minutes ago. But every now and then they have something really cool like this one. 3D printed prosthetics enable a kid to ride a BMX.
Whoa.
And it's in two parts. They published the first part. I don't know if we should all gather around and kind of like watch this, or should I just give you like my
synopsis?
Tell me
what it's
like. So there's a kid. There's a kid who is a BMX rider-ish. He doesn't do a whole lot of stunts. He just likes to ride his BMX bike. But he was born without fingers on one of his hands. And there is a developer of 3D printed items, and he's looking into making this kid a prosthetic hand.
Is
so
it like
he
a-
can ride his BMX. And he's working with, I can't remember the name, a fairly famous BMX rider.
Okay.
Like tricks and stuff.
I know so little about the BMX world.
And I know very little about it, but just the fact that like he's hired this guy on as a consultant to like show him like all the movements and motions that the hand goes through so he can build this kid a hand.
Is he doing it like with a traditional kind of four fingers and a thumb kind of alignment, or is it like a tentacle?
No, it's a traditional hand.
He did mention
at the very end of this, it's just the part one, and I don't know when part two is going to be published yet. He did mention at the very end of the of this little clip that he wanted to make it more of a trick based hand than like a regular human hand, to have more flexibility, perhaps even 360 degree like turning.
Well, and if you're building it from scratch, you can kind of you redesign it.
Yeah,
it's like the newest pair of scissors or whatever. It's like you can do whatever you want to.
Because, you know, if I'm going to have a bionic hand,
right,
I don't want just a regular hand.
Well, I would imagine this person that's receiving this 3D printed hand prosthetic is probably really excited about it.
Oh, definitely.
Like, hey, I get to ride.
He's totally stoked about like wanting to be able to like do.
Yeah.
Hold my bars.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he talks about like, you know, I like to ride. I like to do tricks, but I don't get to do many because of, you know, the risk of injury. You know, it's made him scared enough to not want to do those things.
Does he have both hands missing, or does he have one hand
he has one full hand, and then the other is just kind of, for lack of a better term, like a nub.
It's less of a hand than the other one is.
Yes.
Okay.
It doesn't have fingers.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But this prosthetic will fix some of those. It will enable him to do other things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look how conscious I am of my language.
That's good. You're doing much better than I am.
I'm trying. Well, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was really, I don't know. Let's start the year off on a positive note.
Yeah.
With news.
That's right.
When there's so many things we could complain about.
There's a lot of bad news.
I'm not covering any of it today.
How about some good news?
So next up is from Portland's Roll Easy blog. Thank you. Let's do that again.
Oh, okay.
There we go. This is from our good friend Dan Christensen. WAMGAD.
He's an operator of TriMet buses.
We just figured out what this acronym meant. What makes grumpy-ass drivers?
What does make grumpy-ass drivers?
Well, number one is same thing that really makes you mad. Being blamed for doing the wrong things when you are doing the right thing.
Ah.
Number two is endless repetition of number one. Or endless repetition. A bus driver's job is about endless repetition. Go, stop,
right,
turn, stop,
right.
turn, stop. Given enough time of repetition, what makes a grumpy-ass driver? Rule number one above can turn bright and chipper drivers into grumpy zombies. Flash forward 3 years, you walk into a garage at the end of the shift, and drivers are sitting with that thousand-yard stare. They look like the world has kicked them in the ass. Gone is the bright spark. Gone is the bubbly personality. Not a chipper to be seen. Why? Because they've been ground down. Given enough time, even the best drivers can be crushed.
So be nice to your local transit operator next time you say hi to one.
He's got a really interesting story he put forth as an example, but you know,
yeah,
obviously.
That's for you to read next time you get there.
Exactly.
Click the link.
Yeah. And Dan is, like, without a doubt, I think the most colorful personality in the entire public transit system in Portland. Like, he's a great...
It would be hard to beat.
Yeah. See our live episode, live episode 200, where he told a story. But yeah, super cool. Also, we released the TriMet Diaries and Kick-Ass Oregon History event. What was it called? Where they told transit stories.
Oh, gosh.
Humanity on Wheels.
On Wheels, thank you.
Parts 1 and 2. Those are both available in way back in our feed. So.
Deep cuts.
Yeah, Dan Christensen is on at least one of those. So, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we may not be grumpy-ass drivers, but we do have something very special. You know what that is?
What do
Coffee.
We got?
Coffee. Beer.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
All right.
I actually went looking for the episode that you first said that.
Did you find it?
I think so.
Somewhere in 2013.
It's
right?
In the queue, yeah. Yeah. I found the app.
That'd be
it. Looking through the feed way easier, but
that's okay. So that's a challenge I'm going to throw out there. What episode was it that I made up that song?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't remember right now.
Tweet your answer too at Sprocket Podcast.
That's right.
Well, the comments will tell us.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, can I also say the comment section is a great place. I know Johnny K has left us many great comments from time to time, but if anybody wants to like leave us a more nuanced response. Then Twitter's only 140 characters, so
right.
Comment section is wide open. Put
wide
whatever you
open.
Want in there. And it's a great place for people to interact, like
it's
if
been,
you want to talk
been
back
pretty
and forth.
It's quiet these days.
Yeah, we love comments. We love mail of all kinds.
Any kind of communication,
yeah,
really.
That's right.
Speaking of mail, first up from the cycletourstore.co.uk, he lines out, bicycle touring podcasts, 5 of the best.
Yeah.
And 2 of them you may already be listening to.
It's true.
I know you're at least listening to one of them.
And that's the Pedal Shift Project.
Yeah. See what we did there?
I was very honored that we made the list. It's very, very nice of him to you know, write us up. It was,
We didn't just make the list, man. We were like way up there.
I guess, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah,
so
of 5, I guess, but
I'm familiar with the Pedal Shift Project, and I'm familiar with traveling too, because we had a Skype interview with them back in 2011, I think.
Yeah,
the other two I haven't heard yet.
Heyway Podcast. Heyway is an acronym for How Are You? Where Are You?
Those are good questions.
And the Pursuit Zone Podcast is another one, and those are two I've never heard of before.
Yeah. Both kind of themed around adventures and cycling.
Yeah.
So
Pete Baker, the writer for Cycle Tour Store.
Who you went to high school with.
I went to high school with Pete Baker.
But not this Pete Baker?
Probably not. It'd be really surprising if this guy ended up in the UK and then became a bicycle tour.
You know, it's
writer.
Not beyond possibility.
I guess so. It's a world of possibilities
right.
out there. Anyways, he gave us a nice write-up. I'm not going to tell you the whole thing. He did describe our dedication as unreal.
That, well, thank
which,
you.
Yeah, which I thought was interesting.
I'm touching myself to make sure that I'm still here.
his arm, we should point out.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Thank you for clarifying this.
He's touching his nodes.
Leaving my nodes alone.
We'll talk about things even if there's nothing to talk about.
That's right.
Yes. And then he mentions the Pedal Shift Project, and I want to kind of read a little bit what he wrote here.
Right. And if anybody hasn't listened to the Pedal Shift Project yet, God damn it, go out and listen to the Pedal Shift Project. There's no excuse. No excuse whatsoever. He's happier than we are.
In fact, he describes this podcast as ultra upbeat.
Oh, seriously, yeah. And that's Tim Mooney.
Yes. Tim admits he may not be the most experienced cycle tourist, but what he lacks in experience, he makes up for in enthusiasm.
Yeah. Tim is maybe the most enthusiastic guy and a great monologuer too. Like, you know,
That's true.
It's hard to be that like with it and together and excited when you talk about things.
He's one of the easiest interviews I have to do.
Have we talked about this? Like, I've only done monologue once or twice for the show. Always feels super weird.
Oh yeah.
You?
Well, do you remember when you were gone that last summer and
I do.
not just this last time, but the one before that.
Uh-huh.
It was like the first time I took the helm.
Oh, right.
For the summer.
Yeah.
And I would record the interviews. Pardon me. But with my schedule, I wasn't able to like just edit right after I recorded.
Oh, sure.
So like sometimes they would be like a day late. Sometimes they would be like almost a full week late. But in the meantime, as I'm editing, I would have the interview that I'm sitting on and sometimes the mail and the headlines.
Yeah.
But I would just record like this, you know, this monologue, I guess, or just me sort of riffing on what the upcoming interview was going to be.
Ah.
I will admit I was maybe trying my best to channel Marc Maron.
Oh, okay. I see.
In those moments. But it was also like I'm editing this thing. It's the summer. I'm alone in the studio. I'm just going to say what's on my mind for
right,
now.
Right. Why not? Yeah. Wait,
what's
the
deal with parking diverters?
Have those made it to – are they public?
Oh, yeah. Like,
okay, they're part of the episodes.
The Maria Shure episode is a good example of, you know, I spent like maybe 10, 15 minutes just talking into the microphone before like the interview proper.
Gotcha.
That was recorded in her kitchen. No
right.
Less,
yeah, that was great.
That was that way.
That was great.
I think there was another one with, I want to say the Jonathan Mouse.
Okay.
Was one where it was just him and I in the studio talking and it was just the interview. And so then I went back and did all the rest later on.
Nice. Yeah. Well, monologuing is hard. So Tim does a great job of that.
Yeah.
So does Aaron.
I'll let you guys decide after you listen to those episodes.
Yeah. And anything else? We got
We got another piece of mail. We got a Christmas card here.
Yeah.
This is from Wayne Norman.
With the fancy return label and everything.
Yeah,
seriously.
Look at that. It's a little gingerbread guy.
Aw.
Yep. Wayne Norman out in California.
He's a good guy.
Says, "Dear Brock and Aaron, wishing you a very Merry Christmas and adventurous New Year. Season's greetings, Wayne Norman."
Oh, thanks, Wayne. Much appreciated.
It's a picture of the Merced River in Yosemite.
It's pretty. I want to go there now.
That is a hell of a picture.
Probably doesn't look like this anymore.
Well, not in the summertime, at least.
Certainly not. Yeah. And it's probably not going to look like this in like another 10 years.
Go now. So, now.
Go there in your car.
Well, hey. You know, you can get to Yosemite by bus, I think.
Really?
If I'm not mistaken. I think Russ and Laura from the Pathless Pedal have a pretty good write-up of that from several years back.
Yeah.
I need to go and see if I can find that. But, yeah. Well, hey, I think this brings us to the end, right? Is there anything else we need to say?
I think it do. No.
All right, then.
That's
we're done.
That's all I got. I was the Lindbergh baby.
Points of engagement.
Do we have a theme for tonight? Should we have a theme for tonight? Should we do it just straight?
We could just do it straight.
Why not? Because it's a new year.
Seriously.
Do it once for good measure.
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text 503-847-9774.
Twitter at Sprocket Podcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Herbert for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to sustaining donors Logan Smith, Johnny K. Shadowfoot,
Katharina Millengard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lean, Richard Wazinski, Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen Miller,
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, John Blood,
Allison Wineley, Andy Brunner, Dave Knows,
Lars V, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jenkinson, JP Culey, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick Archain, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian Poole,
Marco Lowe, Rich Outerstrom, Andrew Alderson,
Drew the Welder, Anna, Krista Skukas,
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, Shelley and Troy,
King of Division, Josh Zissen, and Richard G.
All right, everybody, have a good year.
And brush your teeth.
And go to bed.
And have a good year.
And brush your teeth.
Okay.
Why not?
Go to bed.
We had a lot of time at the end of that one.
Yeah. We probably got around an hour 15, more or less.
Yeah. About 20, I think.
Yeah. Hour 15 is like my maximum that I feel is generally acceptable.
Okay.
Although if it's really good.
Right.
Just let it keep going.
Why not? Squeeze nose and shit.
That's right. Is that gross?
Is it? No. I mean.
It's real.
Here's the thing is there's going to be very little you'll find me grossed out by.
Yeah.
I will say, like, when you said groin area, that was, like, the... Don't look.
Yeah.
But that was about it.
Yeah.
Swollen
asses is something anybody can relate to.
Seriously. Who hasn't had one?
No.
Occasionally.